So if you are interested in starting a home-based catering business, then this video is going to give you some great tips and information on how to get started and what exactly it would be as far as costs, license, and permits. So let's get right to it. All right, so it's Damien from Marketing Food Online, and I want to give you information on how to get started with a home-based catering business, okay? Now, there's a handful of things you definitely need to double-check before you even begin the process, and those are particularly in regards to licensing and what's actually allowed within your state. Every single state has different laws and ordinances and such set up in regards to what you can and can't do, or even if you're allowed to do it at all. And remember that at a state level, then a county and city level, they all have different requirements and laws and regulations. A state can allow you to cook food from home in some places, but then when you get down to the city and the city ordinances and your zoning and such, they may not specifically allow it within the city that you're working in. So you would have to transition into preparing the food in what's known as a commercial kitchen. And of course, you'd have to rent those kitchens out to prepare the food product that you would be delivering to your event and your client. So let's jump right into it. I'm actually going to give you a little bit of information about getting one up and running. And then I'm going to cover some of the goods and bads, kind of like the pros and cons of starting a catering business from home, because there's a lot of real good benefits, to be honest with you. And then there's a handful of things that are not exactly the glamorous, a good part of having a business from home. And we'll go into that as well. So let's start off with number one, what type of licenses, permits, and liability insurance and such will you need, okay? So again, the best way to find out about what is required and such is to contact your local health department. Sometimes it's actually the Department of Agriculture that will inspect the home itself. And again, it varies by state. Health departments as well as your business development, it could be named differently, but business development office within the county and city that you're in to check and see about as far as zoning, if you're allowed to do this actually from home. Now, keep in mind, when you're doing a cottage food business, most of those cottage food businesses are easy to start up, but you're actually creating products that are non-potentially hazardous, as they're known. Those are baked goods, cookies, things that are temperature and shelf life stable, time and temperature sensitive. Items that are like food, which would be what you would be doing for catering events, is a little different and it's a little trickier. So it doesn't necessarily follow under the cottage food law. So you want to make sure that operating a catering business from your home is allowed. Now, how much, Damien, does it cost to start one? Well, that's kind of a really open-ended question, but to be honest with you, you can do it for a very limited amount of money if you're doing small events and if you're new at it, okay? You don't have to invest $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 into something like this right off the bat. I highly would recommend, number one, starting off with small local events and then charging for them, figuring out your fees, your rates. Things that can be done, events that can be catered, mainly done by yourself or with the help of maybe one or two people. I wouldn't start off with a gigantic staff because you have to come up with obviously payroll and such, and that is a huge investment. Don't do that off the bat. Try to find out a specific niche, a specific type of food. For instance, if you did Jewish foods, you did kosher products or kosher foods, you would want to focus on Jewish events like maybe bar mitzvahs, and you want to advertise that to people within the community. If there's Jewish publications, websites, or local community events that are specifically geared towards that. If you're doing a specific type of food like Italian food, if you want to do chicken parmesan, you want to do pastas, you want to do garlic breads and those types of things, and you're geared towards Italian community, well, you want to advertise towards those communities as well. And you'd want to focus on a menu that would be around Italian food. Finding out a specific niche, something that you can make really well, something you enjoy making, and then go after that community or those people who would obviously enjoy that type of food more so than others. So finding a niche is really important. Starting small is very, very important. You may have big, high hopes and dreams to have a huge catering business one day, and that's perfect. That's great. That'll drive you to do this. But you need to focus on a smaller step-by-step process, and taking on smaller events is the way to go for that. Okay. Now, Let's see. If you are going to start this from home, here's some of the benefits. Number one, when you start a food business from home of any kind, always double check with your accountant. There's a lot of tax benefits that can help you out tremendously when you're starting a catering business from home, okay? There's a lot of things that can be deducted. There's a lot of things that can be written off as an expense from the home. So it puts you in a really good tax situation. I'm going to tell you a little disclaimer. Like I said before, I'm not an accountant. This is not giving you tax advice, but go to your accountant and ask them these questions. What's the benefits? Because there are some tremendous financial benefits to it. Okay. Now, it's a perfect job if you're considering yourself as a chef, a home chef, or an amateur chef. This is a great job for you to start, a great business actually for you to start, because you could take that passion that you love to do and actually make money and people will pay you for it. That's like the best of both worlds. So the other great thing is the top 50 US caterers generate less than 15% of industry revenue in the United States for catering businesses. What does that mean? Well, that means that there is a huge market that's being filled by people who are not part of those top 50 gigantic corporate catering events or those companies that do large events. So there's a lot of opportunities for a lot of weddings, birthdays, get-togethers, local businesses, small businesses that just want to find a local caterer. Those are places that are still unfilled. So only 15% of these events in the industry, within the catering industry, that's gigantic. That leaves over 85% of these events to either small caterers or those that are just starting, which would be you, okay? Now, you can actually start a catering business and be small and actually stay small. There's not necessarily a need for you to get gigantic and have 100 people staff. You can actually make a great living doing events, even if it's just on the weekends. Doing events periodically, but doing smaller ones and picking up a few hundred or a couple of grand per event. And doing that every other weekend, that turns out to be a lot of money every month as a part-time business, something that you can do on the side until you transition into doing it full-time. So keep in mind that, you know, you could start part-time, you can work on the weekends, and then you can expand full-time from Monday all the way through Sunday if you wanted to, but you don't have to be gigantic. This is one of the unique type of businesses that you can cater events, and you can do it maybe just with yourself and one or two people and not have a need to grow it into something that becomes really complicated and stressful. Now, some of the downsides, you got to make sure that you're really good at handling food. You know time and temperature sensitivities, so you know that certain foods have to be kept at certain temperatures. I would recommend that you would take a course just in food handling, not necessarily in catering, but in food handling, and understand how food works, how to prepare it and serve it to people other than your family or friends. But when you begin to cater, you run that risk of potentially getting people sick. I mean, it could happen. If an event doesn't turn out all that great, the drawback is, of course, word of mouth becomes very, very, spreads very, very fast, and you could potentially get very bad reviews, and of course, nobody wants to deal with you. So the other thing is that catering business require a great deal of organization, and of course, you know, skills in planning, commitment to being at a certain event on time and being committed to people for their events, and you want to make sure you're that type of person. If you're on time and you can be, well, then becoming a catering business is something that I would highly recommend you do, because you can make money at just the fact that you're on time, that you're conscientious, and then that you're responsible for those events. Definitely skills that you already have, take advantage of. Now, when you get started in a catering a business from home, before you get right into it and before you start jumping into it, there's a few things that you need to take into consideration. So number one, are you going to focus specifically on the type of food or event? So are you going to do certain types of events? Are you going to do just weddings? Are you going to do maybe just corporate events? You know, maybe local businesses where there's a lot more money to be made. Weddings are great too, but a lot of times they're on budget. Companies have a lot of money at their disposal, so doing corporate events is more lucrative. So figuring out what type of event is going to be huge for you. So are you going to be cooking the food on the premises where the wedding is or where the corporate event is? Or are you going to prepare it in a commercial kitchen or maybe in a home and then bring it? So you want to figure out what type of potential, like a van, a delivery van that you're going to need. Are you going to need certain types of equipment, shelving, certain type of refrigeration, stuff like that, warming tables, all that stuff that you're going to take to an event physically and then clean it up. So there's a lot involved with determining, are you going to do it there or are you going to bring it? So then thirdly, you want to definitely, as I mentioned in the opening, you want to make sure that your state really allows you to legally do it from home. So you want to contact maybe your state's occupational, like I said, licensing agency, or maybe potentially the health department or the Department of Agriculture for the home-based requirements and then what is required, okay? So definitely once you figure out all the legalities, then you want to figure out what type of equipment you'll need, okay? Not only for the preparation, but for the transit. If you're going to be delivering it, setting it up, and having it on the premises at the event, how is it going? You're going to have warmers. You're going to have equipment. You need supplies. So figuring out specifically with the type of food that you have, because keep in mind, the type of food you're going to be making is going to be the type, is going to dictate the type of equipment you're going to need. Not every food is going to need to be held exactly the same, okay? So keep that in mind as well. Now, you want to set up your business structure, okay? This is going to be something that's interesting because you want to figure out LLC. Are you going to figure out yourself as a corporation? Are there other partners? So the legalities of other people owning parts of this business is something you need to think of. If it's just going to be you and you maybe you have a couple cousins or friends who are just going to help you out, that's different. But you want to make sure that you also have within that, that being said, you want to have liability insurance, you want to have insurance because, you know, your family could help you out and there's a potential that they could also get hurt. And if they do get hurt and then they can't work their job, there's going to be a lot of problems. So setting up the business structure, figuring out how you want it to be laid out, that's something that's ultra important. Now, once you have your specific type of food product, with the certain niche of food that you're going to do, you have to create a menu. You can't just obviously create one item with a salad and some, you know, toasted bread or some garlic bread. You know, you got to have a big menu for people to choose from. And then have that ability to be flexible with the menu to adapt to your client's needs. The more flexible that you are and the more capable that you can create what they want, you're going to attract more customers. Having it just out in black and white on paper and say, look, this is all I can do. You either like it or you don't. I wouldn't recommend that kind of mindset. You need to be flexible with it. You need to allow them to kind of pick and choose and maybe say, you know what? Can you do some variation of this? So if you can do that, then you're definitely going to be good as gold because clients will come to you like crazy. I remember when I first started doing catering with our Italian bakery, we did a lot of banks, local banks and businesses out here that we did business with. They came to us and we really adapted our menu to what they needed. So having flexibility is definitely something that I would recommend and you really, really sincerely need to think about that. So lastly, really quick, I want to wrap it up. And then of course, I'll give you some additional resources down in the description section, but testimonials. Once you do your first event and everybody loved it, make sure you get a written testimonial. If obviously you should probably have a website obviously up and running, I would recommend a website for a catering business for informative purposes to let them know who you are, what type of food you do, what type of events. So it's really critical to do that. But once you get a testimonial, once you get a feedback from that first event, post it, put it on your website. People love feedback. People want to see testimonials. And a lot of times decision-making is based not upon everything you can do or can't do, but it's going to be based upon the feedback you get. Okay. All right. So I'm going to wrap it up. And of course, as always, if this was informative and helpful, please do give me a big thumbs up. If you have questions about home-based catering in your state or where you are, please do ask me down in the comments section. I'll get to it as soon as possible. And I will see you on my next video. Take care.